I'm Dr. Astrid Stuckeberger. I'm an expert on health, on international health, since more than 20 years. Research, science, a lot on methodology of research and ethics. And I have a PhD in public health and a privat docent in medicine. So at the Faculty of Medicine of Geneva, Lausanne, and other Faculty of Medicines. I'm an expert at WHO. I've been an expert many times, and specifically on pandemics from 2009 to 2012, and working with them, actually, many times on ethics, on pandemics, on social determinants of health, and on aging. With my family, in the UN also, other agencies, ILO, UNEP, etc. So I know that very well. So then, during the pandemic, so I was working for the International Health Regulation, creating courses with Georgetown and Pretoria University, and it was very good courses with the member states, with the international WHO experts and epidemiologists. I am responsible, and I created this summer school on global health and human rights, and I had 3 weeks with the UN, and one was on international health regulation. And I was required to come to WHO by Bruce Plotkin, who is not even a member of WHO, but is a consultant for WHO on international health regulation. And he kind of scolded me like a kid and said, Astrid, you can't teach international health regulation at the university. And I said, we had a long discussion. I also had somebody from, Kajikistan, who was speaking at the course, and she came with me, and I was like, oh my God, what is going on in WHO? They don't want us to train. So I realized there that he had no answer, but it was clear that he had no answer, and that there was something fishy to try and stop something so important to train the world. Everybody should be trained on preparedness plan for pandemics, from the citizen to all the sectors, and that's what we were teaching, is that health is not in the hands of WHO. Health is in the hands, not only the health system, about the economic system, the transport system, the agricultural system, and all the health professionals, the primary health care workers, the mothers. So during this time with WHO and after, I saw clearly that there is a will not to continue training and supporting training in the United Nations, internationally, and even locally at the University of Geneva. And on top of it, it was an online course, so it would have been very easy to implement that directly with member states online. Then there were 2 weeks residential, and it was feasible. Even countries could take the lectures and everything was available. I suggested to make a book, a training book, handbooks. I love to do that. And they refuse. So for me, it's clearly a blockus in education, continuous education. This education was not just about preparedness plan. It was about communication, about, communicating in transparent way, ethically, helping people to understand. It was about the science of detection and of continuous evaluation of the agent that provokes a pandemic. It was on monitoring emergency, respecting human rights, surveillance, and then action on the ground. So it was very complete. And it's a shock that they don't continue. I think this is a key. If you don't know what is going on, like now, it's ignorance that leads. It's not only the media and saying and politicization of science, but it is the people who are not aware. That's why it's so difficult. So no wonder nobody is prepared today. WHO is one of the organs of the umbrella of the United Nations specialized programs and agencies and bilateral agencies. So you have the WHO, the International Labour Organization, United Nations for Human Rights, for Refugees, and then you have the Human Rights Commission. This is all under the General Assembly, which is led by the Secretary General, who is today, until 2022, Antonio Guterres, former head of the Refugees. So he should, as a Secretary General, and he can, tell the Assembly General in September, we need to investigate WHO because there is something not going. There is something not applied. The international health regulation is an obligation. It is not respected. As I worked extensively with WHO and with the World Health Organization international health regulation in the implementation plan between 2009, 2012, even 2013 with WHO Europe headquarters there, I saw that they are violating now all the regulations they have put in place. And for people and citizens that listen, you can go and look at this international health regulation. There are articles specifically on human rights, protect the freedom of mobility, protect transportation and economy, number two, protect your privacy data, which is not applied now. I mean, it's all a breach in the international health regulation. Since the international regulation implementation in 2012 until 2016, at that point, they changed the international regulation and gave more and more power to Tedros, to the Director General, and to the point that some states have asked for his dismissal, and people internally have said that he's not an expert, we cannot have him, and it was not even considered. So the head of WHO has got much more power. Now, why do member states obey to that? Well, member states, and that's something I can verify already with at least four countries, is that countries and their presidents and the governance have signed a contract as a corporate agency. And I can cite you, Switzerland has signed, at least in 2014, and I think before maybe in England, the City of London is one of the key points in New York too, that they are registered as a business. So the Swiss Confederation government is a corporation signed and deposited in Brussels in 2014. We have the documents. I was talking with South Africa, and they have exactly the same. They are, the country, South Africa, is registered in New York as a corporation under the name of Council Exchange International, something like that. Then you have France is registered as a corporation in France. Then you have United States, and you know that Washington is registered as a corporation with the City of London, Vatican, in 1871. It was. I don't know today. But so we already have four states, and I think we can go all over the place. And our governments are not democracies. Our governments are puppets of a multinational that is making business on people. I know that some of the experts have talked openly, and they're more expert than me, from Wall Street, saying that every person who is born has a social security number and a number, and this goes directly to the multinational on top, which is corrupted, and are using people, you know, like common goods, consumer goods, social bonds, and that's my explanation. The last explanation, and this comes from lawyer Lynn Wood in USA, who is with Sidney Powell, the two lawyers who are around General Flynn and President Trump. Lynn Wood has documents and has disclosed some of them that some governments, and for example, the Supreme Court of Justice or some key positions, have been blackmailed, their family to be killed, the person himself or herself to be killed. If that doesn't work, they take them, kidnap their children, kill their children. It has happened in the U.S. Or the worst form is they ask them to abuse a child they film, or that they kill the child and they film. So they have all sorts of horrible corruption. They are also linked to the Epstein movement. So you can imagine everything behind. But what I'm saying is that the governments are taken in a black, double, triple blackmailing system. And this is part of the investigation we absolutely have to do and bring to court so we can find our freedom again. There were many things unprecedented in WHO management of international emergency. Totally unprecedented. The fact that they used a test called PCR, which is a research device, but not a diagnostic device. It's never been approved by any quality control, by any international consensus. only by WHO itself. So this is new. The other thing that's new is that suddenly you lock down the whole world almost on the basis of a test or about what WHO does or what WHO says to the media. And a third is the masks, because it's never happened that WHO promotes the mask. Until June, it was no mask. From June, they made a resolution and they said, okay, masks only for health workers, only for doctors. Okay, and that makes sense, you know, a bit. Or old people, that's not always makes sense. But from October on, they said everybody should wear a mask. And they don't even discuss the validity of the mask, the quality of the mask, the label. Who has measured the quality of the masks? In fact, the masks are a harm to people. And if you breathe too much masks, it creates bacterial pneumonia and staphylococcus and other things like that. It's documented. It's even documented by Dr. Fauci, who wrote an article in a journal in 2008 with many scientists, and he declared that the Spanish flu has killed more people with the mask than by the flu itself. So you see the picture? And then now they're going on with vaccine. It's never been done in the history of WHO. WHO has never promoted and made a propaganda of vaccine, never in the whole history. So it is a very strange political decision to start doing propaganda on something that has not been tested, not approved internationally, not studied with no midterm, long-term effect, we don't know. And that's where it becomes worse and worse and worse. Normally, what we do with vaccines, and I will start with SARS-CoV-1. When after SARS-CoV-1, a coronavirus, everybody tried to make a vaccine. So there was, of course, a lot of money funded to try and find a coronavirus vaccine. The corona family vaccine is known to mutate very easily. It's a flu, and it's known to mutate a lot. Well, up to this date, 20 years after, nobody has found a vaccine against coronavirus, neither against SARS-CoV-1. Even veterinarians have said they have tried this vaccine, it doesn't work on animals. And now, see contradiction? If you have common sense in science, you make the dots and you say, today, they do a vaccine in 3 months. Do we know anything? You go, you Google, and you see that even Pfizer, AstraZeneca say, oh, we have no guarantee, the study is not finished, we don't know the results yet. And if you read a bit better, there is no data on the population they're studying. There's no data on how they did the methodology. You see, as a scientist, methodology is a key. You can be very corrupted if you hide behind that people are paying for the study, first thing you have to get out of the game. And the second is the methodology. If you don't study and test a vaccine or a treatment on old people, and then you go and vaccinate them, it doesn't make sense. You don't know the side effect. And that's what happens systematically in the world since a long time. So you see, they have not even tested it on pregnant women, on children, and on old people. And look what's happening. They are vaccinating pregnant women, children they want to do, and old people massively. And this is not inhuman. It is dangerous. It's lethal, and it's a crime. It is like a weapon. There is in the UN a bioweapon convention of biological toxicity. And it is, I think, we are going towards that. What is going on now is unprecedented. We have no feedback. It's just an injection of, when we know now that it's a genetic injection, it is RNA, synthetic, never done before, synthetic RNA. It has receptors, the spikes in the reproductive organs of the body, both in man and in women. So it goes into their reproductive system and modifies the DNA potentially, and we don't know where it goes because we have never had such a vaccine before. Never. Never. And we know that coronaviruses mutate all the time. So it doesn't make sense. Professor Alexandra Henriot-Coud, who is a friend and geneticist, she says, I call it, she said, a functional vaccine, injection genetic vaccine. Because functional, it means that there is a motor of change. It's not just a vaccine that creates antibodies. It is a vaccine that has a kind of a functional engine that starts something that we don't know where it's going. But there are three factors in this that are really dangerous. It is that it does an autoimmune reaction, very strong, much stronger. Your immune system, especially in young people, can really be triggered by this very strong RNA vaccine. And the other one, it is that it goes on the receptors of reproductive health, so you become sterile completely. It's again the sterile, eugenic war that we've had in other vaccines, for example, in Kenya. And then the last one is that it is deadly. And today we have statistics that are huge. It's not promoted in the media, but we are collecting, we are scientific people collecting, and it is, it's absolutely horrible. It's a hecatomb. It's of incredible proportion how much young people have clots, thrombosis. I forgot to say the main problem is thrombosis and clots. Goes in your system and the blood doesn't circulate the same. So when I hope it will not be too late that we can try and heal those people. But it's a crime against humanity, and it is a bioweapon. And for that, we should apply the Convention on Bioweapons of the United Nations in the Conference of Disarmament. They are forcing governments, or actually they are paying governments, people personally, or maybe also blackmailing them, to impose the vaccine to people. So if you are going to a retirement home, my dad entered a retirement home temporarily, I had to insist, I don't want him to get vaccinated, he doesn't want, respect his right. I had to keep on fighting to make sure he will not be vaccinated, because the government dribbled down to states and to hospital and institution. It's like a big web of organization, system organization, and it dribbles down really easy, and people are in a dictatorship, they don't even realize. They say, oh, the government is right. Let's obey to the government. But this time, it is a corrupted government in one way or another. What you're doing is that you are paying for a vaccine that has never been tested, has not scientific data that is valid. It has been contested by many, many scientific people who are extremely specialized in vaccine. It's never been done before. Coronaviruses don't have an efficient vaccine. On top of it, they mutate all the time. So today, there is not the same mutation. And on top of this, they vaccinate you with a vaccine that can make you sick. Because 11% in Israel, under over 100,000 vaccines, are reinfected with a strain that we don't know. The only way to know is to do sequencing of the genome. So it's really a big plan, complicated, but you can see that the financial system, I can also say you one more thing, is that they are, since 2006, IFFIM has leverage of donors, and they have issued vaccines bond on the global capital market, generating more than $6.2 billion through 35 issuance in 8 currencies. So this is, they consider, a pioneering social bond and vaccine bonds, and they enjoy this, and they think this is responsible to save lives. But in fact, they are playing the roulette and the casino with the vaccines and with human life. So we are Kobe's. I'm not going to get vaccinated, but it's really a scam to play with money on our behalf. We are just little puppets. The vaccine is an excuse to make money, to control, and finally they don't care. We are just part of the roulette game. It's gargantuesque. It's really a crime against humanity and bioweapon. So WHO today, as it is not respecting ethical recommendations and the ethical framework that it has built. I was on the ethics committee, review committee, for 4 years, as an external, they always need an external expert. And in ethics, you have very four simple things: is do good, don't do harm, to treat everybody the same, and let everybody decide their autonomous. So this is basic. Well, today, WHO does not apply any of this with the international health regulation. It is in there. There's ethics, there's human rights, there's, you know, respect, people. That's the first. Then there is also the right to science, which is not respected. The right to health is not respected. What we see is the right to disease, the right to treatment that is even censored. The right to vaccine is the only right, and it is not a human right. So what they're doing today, and you can look back now, 1 year in WHO, what you see they have done is everything against people. I'm sorry to say, but it is everything against liberating people from a virus. Still to this date, 1 year after, they say the virus is lethal. It's not the same virus. They call it COVID-19. No. There have been 1,500 variants and mutants. Still to this date, 1 year after, they say the virus is lethal. It's not the same virus. They call it COVID-19. No. There have been 1,500 variants and mutants. They are promoting lockdown. They are promoting masks. The measures taken to lock down public economy and public life with restaurants, especially all the arts that are healing, in fact, a lot of people. If you know, go to a museum, you feel good. All the sports, also the healthy part. Everything healthy, there's a locking down. Breathing with a mask, which is creating disease. The fact that you're healthy, they have changed the rhetoric. You are sick. You're sick all the time. You have to prove that you are healthy. And the only way to prove you're healthy is do the PCR test that is not valid all the time. WHO is acting as a vaccine seller, propagandist. This is unseen. And what is interesting is that in January 2020 or December 2019, when it started, we did not see where they were going with this. But this plan has been premeditated from the beginning, because their aim was to make people believe they are sick with this test that is invalid, and to make people believe the only way out is vaccine. And the third thing is they are contagious. Even if you're healthy, you're contagious. So you should go lock down and put your mask. And even if you have the vaccine, you have to keep on locking down and then wearing your mask. So it's absurdism land. We are in it's a change of paradigm in their brain, and we have to really re-establish health. And actually, WHO is the World Health Organization. It's not the World Disease Organization. But today we could say it is the World Vaccination Organization. Because they have made a plan with Gavi and member states that is selling vaccine and having even social bonds on vaccine. That's where we are. The pandemic is organized internationally in a systemic way. This director general has absolutely no idea about pandemic. And the problem, he's not taking with him the specialists that I know on SARS-CoV-1. Why didn't he bring back Gro Harlem Brundtland and Margaret Chan, two brilliant doctors, women, to come and manage the pandemic with him? Where are they? You know, where is their voice? WHO has a communication office, and of course, you know, we have press conferences regular. Because of the lockdown, we see a lot online, live. Normally, when you do that, there is called a shock room, a room of special operation I always visit with students, where they look at the whole world, what is the data everywhere, and they communicate. What I see now is that they don't communicate. They are dictating a will of not communicating. And it seems, it's not it seems, they are not taking the people, specialists that I know. They are doing live presentation, very general, generalizing, changing words, changing definitions, not giving precise data, not giving precise science. And what is pretty, it's very shocking, is that all the medias in the world say the same thing, the same words, in them shops, in the airports, in the newspapers, and they are paying the media for producing what they want. It is in the law of COVID-19. So how can you have a debate? And then they just build a task force of experts. The task force in Switzerland is full of conflict of interest. I take one after the other of my colleagues at University of Geneva, in the Institut Tropical, Institute of Basel, Professor Tanner, he has been funded by Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation immensely, the University of Geneva also, the University of Lausanne also. So the task force and the scientists that are built to lead this pseudo-pandemic are actually helping the rhetoric of the press, the way the press wants, the way the government wants, and we don't have a debate. We have censorship. Censorship is the first, you know, sign of a dictatorship. Freedom of expression is the liberty that you can see when you are free to talk. And this time, we are in a science fiction, big time. The politicization of a new science, fake science. And it is pretty dramatic because it has consequences on people, people's life, people's economy. People can be saved and they censor doctors, they censor treatments that work. They go to pharmacies and they take the whole stock of ivermectin that works really well. They go and stop scientific people from doing good data collection, saying it is not valid. And they put their own data that's completely in conflict of interest. So WHO, with the media, the main media, they have very well analyzed the system. And they're head of the International Telecommunication Agency. So you can put all this together, and they have the whole system in their hands. And I say they, it's above Guterres. Bill Gates is part of Gavi. But beyond this, Gavi is occupied by a board who are in the system and are promoting this. And above Gavi, we know that the Rockefeller Foundation has been a big part of founding global health and well-being, and everybody knows it, so I can say it. But there are many other agencies that and people that we have to investigate. And what is absolutely shocking as a Swiss citizen is that Gavi, the Global Alliance Vaccine Initiative, has total immunity in their action, in their decision, and in what they're doing. This means they have higher immunity than member states that are in the UN, consulates, ambassadors. They can do any crime they want. Nobody can come and look into their office, in the cupboards, in their computer, and they don't pay taxes. And if you have a diplomatic pass, what happens is you have diplomatic immunity in your luggage, in what you transport, in what you buy, sell. And as you know, we have a secret bank in Switzerland, so it's very easy also, you know, to do a lot of financial setup. So that's the first thing, is that Gavi is a big, big player, signed with the Swiss government, with the FDA of Switzerland, Swiss Medic. They are deciding for our health system and your vaccination campaign. And I suspect they have done this with every country in the world. What I found is that WHO, Gavi, and the Swiss government have signed agreements on managing the pandemic, and not only about the immunity. What I also found is that Gavi has made partnership with bilateral agencies of the United Nations for, like World Bank, probably others. World Bank is very important because they created something called the IFFM, the International Financial Facility for Immunization. And this mechanism, this is really incredible. This mechanism is a mechanism that helps Gavi to get funds and donors. And those donors are member states. So we can find, like, Italy has given millions to Gavi through this mechanism. They are having a stock bond market. They have made a financial system so each time the country gives our taxes to the IFFM, they give it, in fact, to Gavi to apply his immunization program and global plan of vaccine, that you can find the plan on WHO 2016. So the public-private partnership of Gavi and WHO goes beyond that. It goes with multinationals, and it is also a creation of organs that suddenly act with finance. So I just want to tell you a few things. So the World Bank has signed with Gavi, the Global Alliance for Vaccine Initiative, Bill Gates, a partnership for the International Finance Facility to Immunization, IFFIM. And this IFFIM is actually financing something called CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation. And just that you know, this is leading the research and science of preparation and is at the basis of the program COVAX, who is chaired by Singapore and Switzerland. So WHO, Gavi, and CEPI, which is actually the governments of the world, your government, is paying for leading the COVAX campaign in the world. It's getting clearer and clearer to me. I, as a scientist, I have to build hypotheses, but there are facts. So we have to test the hypothesis and investigate. What is clear is that there is a big international, multinational, maybe very small, of people with huge amounts of money, probably those who produce the money in private reserve banks. As you know, many of the banks are private and not public, and they don't belong to the government. And the US, I think it's like that, Switzerland also. So the agenda of this big coalition, families, and Bill Gates is part of this, are not hiding what they want to do. If you look at what Bill Gates said in 2015 in a TED talk, he talked of the virus, the terrible virus, the pandemic, and he talked of depopulation. He said there are too many people on Earth, we have to depopulate. And so that's one agenda, definitely. But it's not new. If you remember, those families or those, a lot of people have already started in the Second World War with eugenics. They wanted the Aryan race, they wanted the best, that was their excuse for depopulating. And it is even before the other wars. So this is not new. What is new is that we see it clearly today, that they are trying to lock down the liberties of people. The freedom of people is really disturbing them. They want to annihilate any thinking and emotion and cognition. And by the way, this swab in the nose is unprecedented because you can take the saliva and test the DNA. So going down there is with an intention. And one of the intention is that you have the most sensitive cilia of regenerating every day your brain and the whole sector behind your eyes, pineal gland, etc. And if you touch that, you go and touch the brain. So if you contaminate this in a way or another, or you put something there, or you even destroy this section, it can really have consequences on your aging, on your longevity. So this for me is one of the agenda. They are doing everything to go in this area. I mean, even the temperature, I don't know if you when my dad was in the retirement home, the nurse came with the thermometer and put it as a laser on my forehead, and I said, stop, what is this? It has never been done before. They put the laser right on, you know, between your eyes, and they don't even know what they're doing. They're using innocent people, imposing a protocol everywhere in the world, the same. So clearly, they want to destroy a depopulation. They want to annihilate those who will survive with their brain being completely unfunctional, obeying. They want to even put nanotechnologies under the skin, make ID passport with a vaccine. So you see clearly that technology is going to lead people. And as this expert of health, Bill Gates, is actually an expert of technology, he has not a clue in health, he of course has the intention to use his technology, very advanced. You know, you have to go and look at how technology is advanced today. You can send Wi-Fi data that is nanotechnology. You can take your DNA and send it through Wi-Fi. So this is a very big agenda also. It's to take technology and control people. And maybe the last, but very interesting and very important, is to take away from people their belief system, their spirituality, and their humanity, because they're closing churches, they're closing things that make people spiritual. They are annihilating all the natural healers. And even in Switzerland, they're letting doctors practice, but the natural healers are not. The plan is to keep on and to make it stronger and stronger until they control everybody with technology, with the ID vaccine passport. This is their aim. It is that they are controlling us little humanoids, transhumans, which have chips and are controlled by this nanotechnology that seems like science fiction, but it's already there. You know, there are electronic tattoos. I'm doing a lot of reviews on innovation in aging. And electronic tattoos can monitor your brain, your heart, and they're much more than that. You can implant and direct the brain. So that's what they're doing. So that's the first thing. It's that science and technology is way beyond what we see today. Our mind is linear, but technology is exponential. This is the Moore's law from the president of Intel. So this is just going to go on forever, because what they're doing, you can see it happening now. It's that we thought, those who got vaccinated thought that the vaccination would liberate them. And on the opposite, they're vaccinated, they're dependent on what they call the mutation. They are using this as a gimmick. So they say, oh, every mutation, always with the wrong test, there's a mutation, a new vaccine. So not only people have to make three vaccines now, which is also unprecedented with a experimental injection, but now they have to keep on wearing masks and they have to keep on doing lockdown and distanciation. It doesn't solve anything. They think they're going to travel, but then they will have an ID vaccine passport that will force them to get vaccinated regularly so they can control them more and more, their health, maybe eliminate them. It's really criminal. So the fact that we see that the plan is done for 2031 in the papers of the government, and you have to look for it, is already a plan. The other sign is that John Hopkins University has issued a pandemic plan for SPARS 2025-2028. So they will not stop. They will keep on, as long as people believe, they're going to make them believe SPARS and everything, and every flu is going to be transformed in a drama drumming. So every flu, you're sick and you're going to die. And people are so afraid of death, they think that they give their life risk to people who lie to them. They believe in a government that lies to them. So they're using fear. And those who are fearful and don't change will probably, unfortunately, die. So I'm just, calling people to wake up and take back your health. Don't believe in the government. You're creating a perpetual pandemic. It's an eternal pandemic. This is the worst nightmare of you can have, is to be in perpetual fear your whole life. Perpetual vaccination. So, you see, that's what they want. And they're doing it in front of everybody's nose, So, crazy. But I'm glad the U.S. has refused the obligation of vaccination, and so has the Council of Europe in its resolution of end of January 2021. It's a resolution that is very important for the COVID-19. And 7.3 is saying that there is no obligation and will never be an obligation to be vaccinated. And that's Nuremberg, you see? Nuremberg is when you take people as Kobe and you do experimental injection. This is what happened with Nuremberg. The pharma has been occupying medicine since so long, more than 100 years and even before, that they have, in the Faculty of Medicine, put only the curriculum of you're sick, diagnosis with a machine, and then you get a treatment, and it's always pharma medication. I think the system has to be dismantled and the key players have to be brought to justice, but also the organization who have played a key role and who intentionally have promoted, you know, things that they know are lethal, you know, like, hospitals, directors of hospitals who receive and are bribed and receive money. So this, they have to be brought to justice. But there is another thing we have to do, is take the money back. The million, billions, I mean, Switzerland has given 400 million francs, Swiss francs, it's about the same with the dollars, a bit more than $400 million to the pandemic plan, to the coalition for the pandemic. And Italy has also given a huge amount. Every country has given. This has to come back. All the money made with PCR tests, with vaccines, with all the money that they're producing has to be brought back, and people have to have a world free of tax, because we were paying tax to those multinational, and we recreate a world that is much nicer, much freer, more local. We keep the international, but we have to get back to local governance.